As we move on, you see, Paul today is explaining to the Corinthians what a ministry is. What does it mean to have a call from God? And what is it ministering to? And so he begins by saying, confidence we have through Christ toward God, the Father. Not that of ourselves we are qualified to take credit for anything as coming from us. And he goes on to talk about that. And then he compares the old law and the new law. If the ministry of death carved in letters on stone was so glorious that the children of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses. You remember that in the book of Exodus? His face was so radiant that he had to wear a veil over his face for a while. And Paul alludes to that later on, you know. But now the veil is taken off because we can see the Lord in his glory in Jesus. And so he goes on to talk about that. If the ministry of condemnation, he calls it, was glorious, the ministry of righteousness will abound much more in glory. And what is the ministry of righteousness? It's to preach, to bring people to faith, so that they're baptized. Very simple ceremony. You know, even if it's an adult, you know, you could pour water, or ideally plunge them into water, as Jesus went down into the tomb. So the person goes down into the water and comes back up. And in the power of the Trinity, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Augustine has a marvelous, trying to break open for us the mystery of the sacraments. It says, accedit verbum ad elementum et fit sacramentum. That's, of course, Augustine always. The word of the gospel comes to the element, the water, the oil, the bread, the wine, and fits sacramentum. And there's a sacrament. Something happens. Now, we're so used to it that we're not blown away. Is it going to be a sacrament? Is Jesus Christ going to come and by the power of the Holy Spirit change this bread and wine into his body and blood? What do you think? Doesn't it blow you away? It would if we really got it, you know? We do it every day. And he doesn't, I can't speak for him whether he minds it or not, but he figures we're so dumb, you know, that we don't really get it, and that he still pours out everything on us. So what was in, now he mentions it differently, what was endowed with glory, the kavod. Well, the kavod came, the glory came, settled on Mount Sinai, so much so that the people said, don't let the Lord talk, you talk to us. Too much for us, you see. For what was going to fade was glorious. How much more what will endure be glorious? That's us. The glory we have right now in our spirits is eternal. It's divine life. And so our whole effort is to be faithful to that divine life. Now, our Lord then says, well then, you know, if that's what you say, well then that law was, you know. No, he says, no. I didn't come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Now, what does that mean? To fulfill. You know, to fill full. What does that mean? It means to go beyond the law, because the law does not empower us to keep it, but the new law is precisely the Holy Spirit. Now, fulfill. That means, let's put it this way. we're at a supper. We're all there. And there's nothing on the table to drink. I say, I'll go out and get something. So I go out, and you expect me to come in with some glasses of water. And I come in with glasses of wine. I fulfill your expectation. You see? I meet it, but I go beyond it. And love meets the law. Would never lie, never murder, never steal, never tear down another's reputation, you know? But that's just the beginning. Law for us is love. You know, the law for us is the Holy Spirit. And that's why Pentecost came on the Feast of Shavuot. Pentecost on the 50th day after Pesach. Why? Because that's the day that celebrates the law. And so Jesus came, huh? As Peter says, on that very day when he's preaching, and he said, having been raised to the right hand of the Father, Jesus receives the blessed Holy Spirit, and he poured him out. And that's what you see in here. And that was meant to be dramatic, as was the beginning of the renewal, right? I mean, signs and wonders and tongues and prophecy and, you know, fell on people. Literally, fell on people. The first, you know, dramatic manifestation was in Topeka, Kansas in 1904 in a little Bible study for young people. And they're doing the Acts of the Apostles. And they're saying, how come we don't see this? We're the same church. How come we don't see this? And one day while they were talking like that, one of the little girls said, oh, Jesus, I love you. And boom, the Holy Spirit came down on all of them. They began to pray in tongues and praise God. And just like when Peter prayed over Cornelius's people, you see? And so Peter said, well, look, they've got the same Holy Spirit we do. What's to stop us from baptizing them? Nothing. And so that's the fulfillment. We're expecting water, and he gives us wine.